And they think that the continuous monitoring of this kind of factors and elements of health that are the cause, the principal cause of chronic disease, are very important tool for ameliorate the quality of life of this kind of patients. Mm-hmm. And together with this, the direct transmission to healthcare professionals can provide a lot of benefits for all the ecosystem, because in this way the patient can avoid to go in person visit, because you know I can transmit directly my data to the healthcare professionals and can evaluate and give, okay team, maybe considering your level, your recent level of glucose, you can take this, you can change the therapy in this way, and you can have virtual you can have a virtual consultation. So having a doctor from the other side instead of me, for example, and this can improve the efficiency of the healthcare system, because we reduce the unnecessary admission to the hospitals, and we can improve the quality of care as well as of life of patients, mm-hmm. and reach also remote areas of those patients who live, outside the centers, outside the cities. And so I think there are huge benefits from all perspective, all stakeholders, and all the system as well.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the All Out Coach podcast. My name is Tim Michelashvili. I'm your host, also CEO and co-founder of Amadev Pharma, an analytics agency in life sciences that uses a deep metrics platform to help pharma and biotech quantify and communicate their impact on healthcare quality. Today, I'm going to be speaking to a healthcare innovation engineer, entrepreneur, an emerging leader recently recognized by Financial Times as top under 35 talent. And I quote, most likely to innovate Italian entrepreneurship worldwide. So if you have an interest in digital medicine and healthcare innovation, Giorgia Pezzotta, my special guest, is the person to follow. I can tell you from personal experience, because I have found her articles, her content across LinkedIn and social media particularly valuable, that I've shared with my network and my audience. So I'm looking forward to this discussion very much. Giorgia Pezzotta is currently working at DoctoLib, and she's currently focused on hospital launch teams for e-health service. And DoctoLib is the first e-health service company in Europe and one of the fastest growing digital medicine companies. And so we're going to review some of the very latest innovations in healthcare and how they impact our health, as well as learn from some of her leadership lessons across her entrepreneurship journey. And so, Giorgia, welcome to the All Out Coach show.
I'm very, very grateful to be here today. Thank you so much for the invitation, Tim, and for the wonderful intro. I think it's the best one that I ever had now. So thank you so much.
You're too kind. So I know you're speaking to me in Milan, in Italy right now. So I want to ask you how you really began to work in this area. What was your road to your passion in healthcare innovation?
Everything started different years ago when I was very, very young. I think because different people of my family suffer from, chronic diseases in general. And when I was a little teenager, I was wondering about, understanding how health and body were connected and how they were interrelated, no? For example, I was wondering why when I was stressed or upset, also my body react to this kind of emotion, no? So, for example, during exam where I was so stressed, then also I was no social connection and so a little bit sad, and then also my muscles were very tense, and so I was trying to wondering this wonderful, you know, correlation about these two words. And actually beginning by this simple curiosity that I had, I started to study, and so I begin to, you know, my journey with an innovative university course that started actually open up when I decided to apply. And actually, I'm very grateful about this opportunity, because then I was one of the first Italian graduated in this innovative field. That was a kind of, you know, hybrid between biomedical engineering and management engineering, with a focus on chronic disease management. Why? Because, as you know, with the latest trend of aging population, and with you know, people becoming older and living different different years of their life with chronic diseases, it was important to find innovation and solution technologies that can support people to live better. And so I did this wonderful journey during university, and where my passion for digital health technology applied to the both healthy and healthcare grow a lot. And then I kick off my career before in research for in an important institute of pharmacological research, then in consulting, and then now in Doctolib, that is a French unicorn, an health tech scale-up that is focused on providing online booking management system for both patients and general practitioner and hospitals as well. And in my free time, I love to, you know, share, as you mentioned, articles and news in order to stay up to date to the latest trends and share with my network, trying to provide value. This is the idea.
And you absolutely differentiate your image, public image, and social media image across LinkedIn from, you know, many others, from my perspective, because of just how tangible a lot of that content is, and how practical and how well structured that content is. Summaries of the JP Morgan conference, for example, was one of the recent posts, Georgia. So I say that based on my own particular review, and in that busy time that we have, you know, in order to understand what's the latest in digital health and innovation, for me, your posts are one of my favorites, I have to say.
Thank you so much. Indeed, I try to do this, because, you know, sometimes people ask me, but why do you do this? No, you spend hours to write, read, and then, you know, trying to provide good posts for people. The idea behind is simple. Actually, I do it for myself, not for others, because I want to study. And this is a way for me to block sometimes during my week, and then plan the post for the rest of the following week. And in this time, I trigger myself to study and then share content with other open that can be useful also for someone else.
So let's start by talking about some of these latest technologies, latest health innovations. What are some of the different categories you're following most closely and that you think we are going to have the biggest impact on patients?
Thanks for the question. Actually, I think there are hundreds of answers to it, but I think I can underline three different categories that I'm following, for which I think they have the highest impact on chronic disease management tool, that are remote patient monitoring, that they can leverage wearable app and self-management tool for patients. And the third one that, you know, close the circle, it is virtual care and telemedicine.
Okay.
Because it is an integrated ecosystem that can actually completely change the way people can manage their health and monitor having real-time data on their health. Indeed, we have different chronic diseases from, you know, cardiovascular, chronic disease, diabetes, chronic respiratory diseases, mental health diseases. And for each of these, there are important success stories in terms of remote patient monitoring equipped by wearable apps and self-management tools for patients that can support in their day-to-day life and habits. I take you some example. For example, for pressure, hypertension diseases, there is the blood pressure monitoring that are different type of device that can monitor in real time the level of blood pressure, and in this way they can track trends on this level and then provide input to patient while transmitted to healthcare professionist, and if it is necessary intervene or suggest different therapy for the patients. Other examples are, for example, for asthma diseases, there are some smart in-alerts that can track environmental triggers as well as the medications that the patient is taking. And in this way, they can provide, they can have an overview of the both type of data and then give suggestion to patient on what is the best in that specific moment. Other example are, for example, for the diabetes, the glucose monitoring, continuous glucose monitoring, and this kind of device are very important because, as you know, diabetes can be a disease that can't give you problem, but if you reach some level that are too much or too low, can give serious problem and effect. To have. And so in this way, healthcare professionals can have directly data as well as the patient and can intervene with the therapy as well. And there are many, many hundreds type of example that I can give you. And I think that the continuous monitoring of this kind of factors and element of health that are the cause, the principal cause of chronic disease, are very important tool for ameliorate the quality of life of this kind of patients. And together with this, the direct transmission to healthcare professionals can provide a lot of benefits for all the ecosystem, because in this way, the patient can avoid to go in person visit, because I can transmit directly my data to the healthcare professionals and can evaluate and give, okay, team, maybe considering your level, your recent level of glucose, you can take this, you can change the therapy in this way, and you can have virtual you can have a virtual consultation. So having a doctor from the other side instead of me, for example, and this can improve the efficiency of the healthcare system because we reduce the unnecessary admission to the hospitals, and we can improve the quality of care as well as of life of patient and reach also remote areas of those patients who live, outside the centers, outside the cities. And so I think there are huge benefits from all perspective, all stakeholders, and all the system as well.
One of the recent posts that I alluded to was your review of the JP Morgan conference recently, where this was a hot topic, of course, digital medicine, health tech. Where are the highest investments being focused on currently? Are there particular areas among the ones that you just maybe highlighted?
Yeah, the top trend in absolute term, it is something that probably you never heard, but it is artificial intelligence. Not focus only to generative AI, but in general to artificial intelligence as a whole, because the main point that was emerged, it is the huge potential of artificial intelligence in terms of completely revolutionized the drug discovery market.
Yeah.
Because it can improve in a completely can improving the velocity, the speed of the discovery of drug. And if you think this can have a huge potential, you know, with many, many different type of therapies and so as well as illness as well. And the other side of the coin, it is even if everybody believe that the speed can completely change the, you know, the cars in the play, the costs remain, the expenses remain high because artificial intelligence require, you know, the software development cost as well as the computational power that need to be the that need to be taking place. So there are some expenses that we can't eliminate, but the power and the potential behind is huge.
Okay. So there is a quite a variability among these different digital health solutions for our listeners as well to consider probably. And you talk a lot about that also. So given that, you know, I run an analytics company, I'm always interested in finding out the performance of various different solutions or standards based on which they're measured. Right. So what is that variability and the quality of metrics of these different digital health products? And how can we make sense of that as a consumer, as a health consumer, when we or is a health care provider?
We have to take in consideration different metrics. Recently, I read a very good article that give an overview about the different, you know, metrics that we need to consider when we assess a digital technology in the industry. One example, it is the complexity of the system. As you know, we have different type of stakeholders involved when, you know, a digital technology arrives in the market. You have the developer, you have the healthcare provider, you have the patient. Everybody has a different perspective. And this point, for sure, give a different point of view and a different priority. And I think it's very important to consider in this term the subjectivity of usage, because you know, every person is different, and we have to imagine that every type of technology is used by a different person who has different necessity. Even if me and you share the same illness, the same diseases, we have different needs. And so if you use the same solution, we will provide different feedbacks compared with our, you know, personality, person as well in as a whole. Yeah. And so these different perspective give some difficult to find standards in terms of assessment. Another important point to consider is, for example, the interoperability of the systems. So if we don't have an interoperable system, if we don't have data that can be supported with the integration, then, you know, the results of the data shared are not of good quality, for example. And so there are very different types of aspects to consider. Another important aspect, it is the regulatory process. We have countries that have not yet standard in terms of regulation, as well as in terms of reimbursement. And also these differences put some difficulties when we have to assess a technology in these terms.
Generally, a digital therapeutic company has to demonstrate that it is as good or better than another given medical device or a treatment, or used in alone or in combination with that treatment. Correct, and it has to just demonstrate improved efficacy. Correct.
Yeah.
So there's no standards, even regulatory standards, of approving such a treatment across the globe. Are there any changes? Are certain, let's say, in certain countries versus others, are we expected to make that approval process faster, a little bit more swifter in the future, or
Absolutely. For example, I recently looked at digital therapeutics that are one of the top trends for the next year. Digital therapeutics are regulatory different, and the stage of regulation in different countries in Europe, it is at different stages. For example, in Italy, we don't have yet a standardized regulatory process, while in Germany, there is already put in place the DiGA model, that is a way for which the public healthcare system reimburses a digital therapeutics. Okay. And so we have different level of maturity among country. And I think, but maybe you are American, so you can give me your perspective. The main difference between Europe, and America, it is that in Europe, we have more differences among country, and we have more different level of maturity, while in US, we have a more widespread standardized regulatory model. And so also the process for this type of technology are more faster than Europe, but maybe you can give me your perspective on this.
Well, as far as I understand, there's a pre-certification process in that the FDA used to have, that it's currently looking into changing that, but they haven't done that yet, the FDA agency here in the United States. So there's not a lot of clarity in terms of what certifies, what qualifies a potential therapeutic prior to its path to approval. There's a lot of more work to be done, I think.
In Europe, too, we have the CAE marking process that is the corresponding of FDA in America. But I think that there is a lot of work to be done, but I'm positive. And I think that soon we will have improvement in this process.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Me too. Shifting gears towards the patient perspective, the consumer perspective, though, I know that there are probably a wide range of digital products, health products that may not be approved by their respective governments, but they may be improving their health and may be valuable for them. Any tips you have or recommendations for patients in selecting current digital health products, how to evaluate which application to use, which, you know,
I think in general there are some aspects to take in consideration. The first one, it is the clinical evidence. It's important that type of solution is being well equipped in terms of clinical results, efficacy, and improvement in terms of patient outcomes. Then for sure, it should be user friendly, because it need to be helpful to
you need to be able to use it, also, right?
But it seems
sustainability, right? Yeah, over long term.
Absolutely. Also because the patient should be put at the center, so it's very important the patient engagement. So together with the user friendly type of app, as well as other important aspects are, for example, the data that can be collected with this, you know, digital app or wearable device, because the more data you have, the more whole perspective about your health you can have. And I think is the most valuable asset to take decision, not by ourselves, but, you know, the software can give us the right support about what to do and share with the healthcare professionals the right suggestion about how to change the treatment or, you know, the therapy as well.
Okay. So important point there and suggestion from you to partner with your healthcare provider as well and research the clinical evidence that goes behind that.
Absolutely. And absolutely. And I think also in this case, the interoperability, as I mentioned before, it is a very important point, as well as data security and privacy, because we are talking about health data, and it is a very important aspect. And lastly, the scalability and, you know, sustainability of the solution, if we talk about in terms of provider perspective.
Yeah. Otherwise, there's a lot of reasons, I think, to be excited about what these products can do. You know, they can, as you mentioned, monitor blood pressure remotely, right? Continuous glucose monitoring, but even digestion, I've heard of mood. I've heard of even situations for dermatologists being able to use the camera function with apps and in order to detect potential cancers earlier. And Absolutely. So I'm still very enthusiastic about it. I share that enthusiasm with you. I want to also now ask you about your lessons throughout your entrepreneurship journey, through your road to leadership as well, that you have discovered. What have you learned from following your passion and for chronic illness in order to helping other patients using innovative solutions in health? What are some lessons that you can share with other entrepreneurs maybe who want to follow the same path or in digital health?
Well, it is a very big question. I can share my journey and what worked for me. What helped me the most, it is to find my why and discover my purpose. Because it is very, very important in life to understand our direction, our greatest passion, and you know, what makes us curious and hungry to learn. And I think it is very, very key in general to, you know, develop resilience, because you know, life is a journey and full of challenges, and is very important to be grateful and to be motivated and try to find happiness in little things. And I think what can help others, because it helped me, it was self-reflection, because you know, probably you are asking, okay, but how I can find my why, my purpose? And I think are very important self-reflection, as well as the feedback that you are receiving by people that work with you, your friends or family, to make you understand yourself better. And also, it is important to do different type of experiences, trying to connect deeper with others, try to, you know, in our social relationship that can be only virtual or in person, because today with the technology that we have, you can connect with people from all over the world. But we are talking about every type of relationship and social connection. I think that try to establish deep connection with others help us as a humans a lot in terms of what we can receive from others and what we can give to others. I think that everything can be, you know, better when you are with others, when you are surrounded by people who believe in you and for which you are some reference point, someone who can inspire others.
Well, thank you. I think that's a great way to complete this discussion here at All Out Coach, where the motto is stretch yourself, lift others. It's obvious, I think, to me, Georgia, that you've had a lot of inspiration and a lot of probably mentors and teachers. I know that you had experience at a very important health consultancy, KPMG, in Italy, that's very well recognized globally. So feel free to share any final message you have in that realm, you know, stretching yourself, lifting others, or recognizing anybody else who you'd like to as well.
I should thank many people, but you know, to don't make someone not mention for my bad memory, I simply want to say thank you to all the mentors that I have during my journey, that are was my manager, as well as my friends, as well as my parents. I think that for each stage of life and for different areas of your life, personal and professionals, you encounter people that can believe in you, you know, listen that people, yeah, because sometimes we are we suffer from imposter syndrome, and me as first, and when others believe in you, start believing you as well. And I think one of my greatest fortune and lucky, it was finding people on my pathway who believe in me. Otherwise, it's very difficult if you don't encounter people who strongly believe in you, because that people make you shine, make you spread energy with others. And I think it's key for everybody.
Well, thank you again, Georgia, for continuing to educate us. Please continue to do that. I want to also invite those who listen to this conversation to follow the All Out Coach podcast. It's available on all platforms, this conversation as well. And you can learn more about our guests, Amadev Pharma as well. If you're interested in more information or notes from this podcast and more articles, visit our website as well at amadevpharma.com. Thank you, Georgia. I look forward to speaking to you again here at All Out Coach. Good luck with your current projects.
Thank you so much, team. See you next time.
See you.